Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Hello.
How's it going, Jeffy?
It's going well, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk Lucha with you. I'm excited for Ultima Lucha Trace, which we are now on the precipice of. It's coming. And we have Rise of the Ring announcer to talk about. Overall, what'd you think of this episode?
I thought this was a fun episode. I didn't know if all the matches kind of lived up to what I was expecting, but overall it was still solid.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think you hit on the key word that I wrote down several times during my notes on the episode, and that is fun. This was a very fun episode of Lucha Underground. This offered a lot of the things that outside the ring make Lucha Underground so great. There were no like 5-star classics or anything like that in the matches, but there was still some good in-ring work. Some of the a little brief, but man, there were some kick-ass vignettes and a lot of stories and plots being advanced and things being set up for Ultima Lucha Trace. So I appreciated all of that. And we start out with Phoenix and Melissa in the ring training together. And immediately from the get-go, this vignette kept getting better and better. I mean, I liked it immediately. I liked seeing Melissa training with Phoenix. I liked what she was doing. And just everything like that. The tension was great. What did you think of this vignette?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It's one of those like little touches, you know, because obviously they would be training together. She would have to prepare. I enjoyed the dialogue. It was very superhero-ish to me.
I don't know.
That's what I was getting from it. Kind of reminded me of like Spider-Man and Black Cat. And I was like, don't take off the mask, Phoenix. If I've learned anything, you keep the mask on. That's who you are. If anything, maybe that's even who she's fallen in love with. And she may not even realize that.
It's like the Prestige, too. It's like the trick is nothing. You know, Nobody wants the secret, really.
They'll beg and they'll flatter you for it. But then, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's all there is. So, yeah, there was the moment when, you know, Melissa had Phoenix down. And it's just, again, that tension where she goes in for the kiss, but stops herself and then unbuttons the mask and wants him to take it off. And she,
women always trying to change you, am I right?
And he throws her off of her, much to her chagrin. It's like, no, dude, he's saving the mask for marriage. And he gives that great speech, though, about
no
how...
No one can know my secret.
Yeah, exactly. And like how, you know, sort of Bane-esque, nobody cared who I was until I put on the mask and, you know, he was able to leave his old life behind. And just a great, like, Phoenix sound effect in the background as he's telling this story. Just tremendous, tremendous work. By
it's
everyone
epic.
Involved.
It's good storytelling,
it
man.
Was great storytelling. And the emotion of this, like legit, like when he grabbed her and then she spun him around and kissed him, I was like, dude, that is the best, like you said, superhero kiss since Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst. I thought that kiss was awesome. I was like, yeah, I was cheering for it. I'm super invested in their relationship now. How about you?
I don't know if I'll say super invested, but I am invested in their relationship.
I think it's tremendous. I thought that was a great first kiss, as good a one as you'll see on a TV show or a movie. That was awesome. Tonight, so we are getting Phoenix and Melissa Santos taking on Marty the Moth and Mariposa. So that means Melissa's getting ready for the match. So that means we get Famous B on ring announcing duties for the whole show.
Excellent choice by Dario Cueto. Excellent choice.
I don't know about that, but
I love seeing Famous B wearing his many hats.
I do too. I love seeing Famous B wearing his cast, which has like all these signatures on it. It's like it's got the Get Fame phone number and everything like that. I really appreciated that touch.
Good branding.
Yeah, Famous B starts out though like pimping his brand with Infamous Incorporated, which it is now known as. And announcing it's Dante Fox versus Tejano. One, what did you think about the presentation of this, like with Famous B ring announcing, Brendo as the guest timekeeper? What did you think about all the trappings going in?
All of that I really enjoy. I like Famous B. I think he's a good showman. I think he really has found his niche as far as where he should be in Lucha Underground. Season 1 is really like working out all the kinks and kind of getting people in place. And I don't think Famous B has really looked back since. Because he does a great job with everything that he's doing now.
Yeah, no, you're right. And as you said many times, he's a great heel. He actually gets heel.
Oh, absolutely.
Heat.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's one of those classic heels. You're not reacting to him because like he's cool or anything like that, and you're reacting to him the way you should be to his character, which I think is really important.
He's probably going to get he's probably approaching levels where he's going to start getting some cheers, though, because he's just so good at it. And that's just the nature of the business.
There's no way around it. Like, if we were in the temple, I would cheer for Famous B, which is defeats my argument of what I was saying about Famous B. But I mean, yeah, it's gotten to the point where he's just too entertaining.
Yeah. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
The fine dance that all heels have to.
For
have
real.
Do.
But they've done pretty well with him so far. So he's clearly in the tank for Tejano, as he's been trying to recruit him to become his client, with Dr. Wagner Jr. still nowhere to be seen. So I guess that's just it for him, probably.
It's unfortunate. I don't get it. I don't really understand what happened.
We had Brenda in the nurse's outfit all those times, too, and now we haven't seen hide nor hair of him.
Dr. Wagner Jr. for that, and yeah. That alone would be enough.
Yeah, that deserves to be celebrated. But we get Dante Fox versus Tejano. This was a pretty short match. It went about 6 minutes. We got to see Dante do some of his signature stuff, though, which, I mean, that, like, flash kick thing he does from the apron is just so cool.
The best, man.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite moves in wrestling in general. And Matt Stryker doubled down again, something he'd said before, that Dante Fox was kind of his pick to be a standout in Lucha Underground this season. And he's right. He really has been. He's been tearing it up in the ring. This match was to further a couple storylines, though, on the periphery with Famous B and Tejano and with Dante Fox and Killshot. So what did you think about what happened in the ring?
I actually thought this was a pretty solid match, and I didn't mind the length as much. On paper, I just think the idea of Dante Fox and Tejano against each other is good.
Yeah.
And they're two guys that I really enjoy watching. Dante Fox is like one of my favorites now. I really look forward to his matches.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
And the guy just he's not missing as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, overall, I'd say that the match was. I'm thinking of the three matches. As far as just from a match standpoint, it might have been my favorite of the night, actually.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah. we get Famous B trying
Maybe because there was no hype around it, where the other two I was expecting more from.
Yeah, that's fair. Famous B tries a screw job finish where Tejano only got a two count, and he tries to say ring the bell and keeps calling him Tay-Tay. Says, you won, Tay-Tay. And that was hilarious enough. Dante Fox got the actual roll-up finish, costing Tejano, which led to Tejano want to really put his hands on Famous B. But Dario Cueto says, not so fast, no, no, no. Like, I need Famous B to be my ring announcer because Melissa's wrestling tonight. So you're going to have to wait until next week to get your hands on Famous B. And this is my Why I Love Lucha moment of the night, I think, or one of a few. But Famous B talking about how he's got a broken arm and Dario Cueto just saying, well, then I guess it'll be a handicap match was exquisite. That was so good. That was a legit laugh out loud moment and just really well played. So that's set up for next week. After that, we're in Dario Cueto's office with Son of Havoc talking about how he's going to win Gift of the Gods tonight. And then, you know, cash it in at Ultima Lucha Trace in the World Championship match. And I assume he's talking about making it a three-way. And that, I think, is a little bit of perhaps foreshadowing for what the actual winner, who I'm assuming is going to be Pentagon Dark, might do. But that's what I was thinking right now. We'll see what happens as it went along. But so Pentagon did show up, and much like I tell you sometimes, save it for the podcast, Dario was like, hey, save it for the ring. Save it for the ring. And I understood Dario's feelings there. What did you think about this vignette?
It was a good vignette. I don't really like the idea of the Gift of the Gods championship being turned around so fast. And I also just think of it as somewhat of a disadvantage if you were to do something like that and making it a three-way. And now you're fighting against two guys for the belt instead of just one.
Not
just
sound
story-wise,
strategy.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, Son of Havoc's a man of the people, though. He feels like he earned that shot to be in the main event of Ultima Lucha Trace last year. You know,
well, he did.
He did, and then he had it taken away from him. So I see the psychology from that standpoint.
My diagnosis.
Yeah, but it's funny is that I thought they were going to get the Gift of the Gods match at Ultima Lucha Trace, straight up.
I thought that, too. I didn't realize how quickly we had been handing out medallions.
Oh, they handed them out precipitously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, three in one go.
Yes, exactly. I thought that was a little suspect.
Yeah.
So that was, pretty.
And that's part of my problem with the main event tonight. And Yeah. It just, I don't feel that that is being treated as prestigiously as it once was. And I don't care for it because it's my favorite championship.
I agree.
In all of professional wrestling.
I get what you're saying there. After Dario's office, it is time for Mariposa and Marty the Moth Martinez taking on Melissa Santos and Phoenix. And another while of Lucha moment is Melissa Santos's entrance. I love the cape. I love the reveal. I love her coming out with Phoenix. Again, I'm invested in the relationship. What did you think about Melissa's first turn at entering the temple as a wrestler?
That's probably my favorite part of the match. not even saying anything bad about the match. I just, that was delightful. I got a couple of moves in the match that I also enjoyed, but I was happy. I was excited. This is a story that I think they've been doing a decent job with as far as how they've been building it up, especially if you just want to talk about Melissa and Marty and how long the two of them have kind of been, you know, clashing. Because that's like, what, season one even?
Yeah, the seeds of that were planted long ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is great. I think this is very decent development. And, I mean, it's a professional wrestling show. This is how it's supposed to be settled, in the ring.
I actually think that from an entertainment standpoint, this might be my favorite match of the night because it was what I was most interested in coming into this week in terms of like how it was going to play out with Melissa and Phoenix. And I mean, Phoenix did most of the in-ring work, obviously, but but I love the stuff that Melissa got to do, the double super kicks, the flying forearm to Mariposa, like all that stuff when she essentially made Marty's dream come true when she went off the top rope with her crotch into Marty's face to take him down. I thought
what an excellent move. I hope that's her signature.
It was a great move. And I don't know. I thought she looked good doing it. I thought like I love her like ring attire, like her boots and stuff. She I mean, I know she has a background in wrestling that we've talked about before, but this was her first turn in the temple, the first time I've ever seen her work, and I was impressed. I thought she acquitted herself well, and more importantly, I thought the match itself played out how it should have, which was, you know, when Melissa first gets in there, like it's this, you know, kinetic energy, you know, she's getting all this stuff in, like, oh my god, where did this come from? And then in the lead up to Ultima Lucha Trace, the bad guys get to have their day. You know, Phoenix helplessly having to watch her being brutalized was, again, another one of those heart-wrenching moments. And it's a mirror image of when Melissa had to watch Phoenix being brutalized. And so I appreciated that symmetry there. And I like that I like that Marty the Moth and Mariposa won this match heading into Ultima Lucha Trace, because I think ultimately Marty the Moth will be getting his head shaved and Phoenix will be keeping his mask. I hope to God that's what happens, because I don't want Phoenix to lose his mask. So,
no way.
Yeah, he needs it. And I also liked in that opening vignette where it's like, you know, Phoenix talking about if he loses his mask, he loses everything. And Melissa says, well, you won't lose me. Just so good. Ah, great stuff. But I thoroughly enjoyed this match. Great job by Melissa. And, like, again, all the emotional appeal of it, I thought they played it off really well with tying up Phoenix and everything. I got to say, the spot where Mariposa fell into Marty's crotch, that's a weird family, man.
A lot of faces and crotches in this match, and it was all awesome as far as I was concerned. There's the Moth Tribe is weird, all right? Like, the Rabbit Tribe is fun weird. The Moth Tribe is just creepy.
Creepy weird. For sure.
Yeah, creepy weird.
Yeah.
Very rich and powerful, though.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I would marry into that tribe if I was allowed to.
Well, you know, I mean, Marty's a good-looking guy. Mariposa's probably a good-looking gal under that mask, you know, who only her doctor can say. but, you know.
I'm going to do some weird cocoon moth stuff. That's all right.
Yeah. I like casual Mariposa, you know, in the in her other outfits and stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, her just walking around in the hall.
Yeah, she's like, oops, I did it again, Mariposa, or whatever. Or hit me one more time, Mariposa, rather. You know, that's a good Mariposa. I could cocoon with
that's
that.
That's a Mariposa we can get behind.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, some weird stuff going on. But, again, in the build to their match, I thought this went exactly how it was supposed to go. And, you know, Melissa looked, you know, acquitted herself well. She's going to be hopefully going back to being a ring announcer, because she is the best in the world at doing that. I really love the emotion of this. From there, we do get a breakdown, which I think we should break down the card of Ultima Lucha Trace as it stood at this point as well. And that is El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Matanza in a steel cage. Thoughts?
Oh, boy. I don't see how that works out well for Azteca Jr. It just seems to go against everything that would be an advantage for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all he is agility and speed, and he can't get away from Matanza. That should be a fun match.
Yes.
If it goes how I would think it would. But I, it would be amazing and legendary if he somehow won that.
Yeah, it would be. I don't know if he should, though.
I don't think he should. Matanza's also still fresh, man.
Yeah.
A fresh return back. So he should still be annihilating people.
And Azteca's still young in the game, storyline-wise, to where he can sustain that loss and come back stronger later on in the show.
Also, if he defeated Matanza, it would be like, well, where do you go from here?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So I'm kind of hoping Matanza, I want Azteca to show well, but I'm kind of hoping they keep Matanza strong there.
I want it to not be a squash match, and no. I want it to go for a little bit, and I hope that they do some fun things. But yeah, overall, I would expect Matanza to win.
And confirmed, she's going to be back. The baddest bitch in the building, Eva Lys, will be taking on Katrina. I hope we get some build to that, like some vignettes or something like that with her coming back. We've not seen Eva Lys in a real, real long time. But what are your thoughts on that one?
Because she's been gone for so long, I don't really know how I feel about that. It just seems so detached and not like consistent at all. I mean, if anything, she still has the link to Jeremiah Crane, and that story has been progressing. So, hopefully we can tie it in with some vignettes here and there, but we don't have a lot of time left, really. And I know that there was stuff a while back, but I mean, that was like a year ago now.
Yeah.
In real world time. So, nah.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm not stoked about it.
I'm into it. I'd like them to give us something, though, before. I hope they can't just show up and have the match, I hope.
That would be the worst. It can still be fun, and I like both characters a lot, but yeah, you gotta give us something.
Yeah. So we'll see where they place that and how much background they're able to give us. And then we do have Phoenix versus Marty the Moth, Mask versus Hair. Marty's going bald, yeah?
God, he better.
That's what's going to happen. Then we have Sexy Star versus Taya, Last Luchadora Standing. Another one. I'm pulling for Taya in that one.
As am I.
It's in light of, I think I'd be pulling for Taya no matter what, but in light of everything with Sexy Star, I'm definitely pulling for Taya now.
I would, if it wasn't for all the real world garbage, I would probably be rooting for Sexy Star, but the Worldwide Underground is so much fun.
Yeah.
And it would be nice for them to rack up at least a couple of wins and not always be just like Johnny Show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really do hope that Taya wins.
And then this one I'm really, 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 really excited for. And that's Dante Fox versus Killshot in a Hell of War match, which is a 2 out of 3 falls match. But each fall has a different stipulation attached to it, a different violent stipulation attached to it as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Both of these men are incredibly capable of putting on a phenomenal show. This has been built up for quite some time. I'm very much looking forward to these two in the ring. I tell you, I'm hard pressed as far as who I want to win, though, because Dante Fox has turned me into a major fan of his. But as far as I'm concerned, Killshot's still the hero of that story. You know what it is? It's almost just more of a misunderstanding. I would like more of the story to come out in vignettes or for somebody to explain something.
Yeah.
You know?
And we haven't got to see, I feel like, that much of Killshot in the ring lately. So it's been advantage Dante Fox in terms of, recency bias and everything like that in terms of what they can do. Like, harken back to
the beginning of this season,
the Weapons of Mass Destruction match.
Yep.
Killshot did such an incredible job.
It's one of our favorite matches.
Yeah, so it will be.
Mine for sure.
I like you. I'm sort of hard pressed on who to root for. Dante Fox has impressed me so much. I'm leaning towards him right now, but I wouldn't be surprised in the storytelling of the match if I could go the other way. And then Prince Puma versus Johnny Mundo, career versus title, ill advised or not, that's what's going down.
I'm still upset about that, but I mean, regardless, I would be rooting for Puma.
Yeah.
As much as I love Johnny Mundo, Prince Puma is my guy.
Yeah, and I'm rooting for Puma as well because there's no chance.
And I know it's going to be a great match. I love watching those two in the ring, especially against each other. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, and no chance in hell do I want to see Puma lose a match where his career is on the line.
Absolutely.
Unless it's against maybe somebody else. We'll see.
Oh, man, dude.
even then, it would be difficult.
You have Sarah friendships on this podcast right now.
So that's the breakdown of the cards so far for Ultima Lucha Trace. That would take us to the Gift of the Gods title match. Everyone in it sort of got introduced rapid fire, except Pentagon Dark, who got his own intro, which you know how important the guy is in the match if he's the only one out of six other people to get an intro.
How ridiculous.
It's just like, yeah, we get it. Like, Pentagon's like who you want to see in this. It's like, man, you couldn't even give, like, Son of Havoc. You know, like, you have time because you can give joint intros to the whole Rabbit Tribe. You know, they come out as one anyway.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't just have all of them already stretching and warming up in the ring, and then just Pentagon Dark shows up.
Yeah, that's how you knew. Like, But what did you think about this match?
I was incredibly disappointed, and it just kind of makes me a little sad because I really do like the Gift of the Gods championship, and I like the matches in the past. It just, there was nothing that really wowed me in this one, and I was expecting some pretty cool things, especially with the entire Rabbit Tribe. I would have liked to have seen, and there was some teamwork on their part, obviously, but I would have liked to have seen more of their rabbit moves that we've seen in matches past.
Yeah, there wasn't that much of that. Go ahead. No, you're right. I was just, yeah, you're right.
And The phenomenal match that Cortez Castro went through to get to this, I just feel like he was completely forgotten.
Yeah, he didn't get, he got almost nothing in this.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of, for a character that I originally did not care about at all in season one, and then with the perfect plot twist, they all of a sudden make him one of the more interesting characters. And then I feel like they haven't done anything with him, really. And that's disappointing. He should have been able to do a lot more this season than he has, and I just feel like they keep forgetting about him, and then all of a sudden it seemed like things turned around, and then now nothing again.
Yeah, you're right, and I was underwhelmed by this match as well. I think they had some, you know, it was a fine match, but it was not befitting of what they were fighting for. You know, Son of Havoc, Pentagon were the ones that got to shine in this, and
yeah.
and like Drago was an afterthought in this too. And I do like how they talked about how, like, Matt Stryker said Drago's been in Lucha Underground since season one, and Vampiro's like, Drago's been here for centuries. I was like, okay, that was excellent. It was just excellent. And you texted me this when you were watching it, that Pentagon should always be referred to this way, and that is as a ninja skeleton, which is what he is, and it is awesome. I also thoroughly enjoyed that.
I just feel like, yeah, when he walks into the ring, it's kind of like if you ever play a Legend of Zelda game and you go against the main villain in a dungeon, it like kind of has a title that goes over the name. So yeah, it would just go the fighting ninja skeleton, Pentagon Dark. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I agree. This led to, I think why they did this match on this episode, I mean, obviously this is why they did the match on this episode, and why maybe it was the care and stuff like that was not given to is because we are going to get what I think. So there's a double pin that ended this match. Pentagon got a pin simultaneously with Son of Havoc getting a pin. And, you know, Dario Cueto to the rescue. He says, you know, no, there's been two pinfalls here, and you guys each deserve a shot at the Gift of the Gods championship. It's going to happen at Ultima Lucha Trace. And he delivers, the great thing about Dario is he knows that they're waiting for it. He delivers once again the ladder match line, and it was so excellently done. And I'm now, I am super stoked that they're adding, because I wanted Gift of the Gods to be won at Ultima Lucha Trace. So I feel like ultimately, at least I'm getting my wish, it's going to be on the big stage at Ultima Lucha Trace in a ladder match, and I think that's huge.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with that because you have a point, and I do enjoy ladder matches. It's just one of the things that I love about the Gift of the Gods championship is you basically have seven champions, each one representing one of the tribes, and that they're all going for basically this power that, you know, all the gods have chosen to bestow upon some warrior. I mean, I'm looking at it from like a story perspective, and I just feel like it's a lot more fun that way. I just wish the match was more epic, and I wish that the seven of them had just gone against each other in Ultima Lucha. I also think that more emphasis should be put on the medallions.
Yeah.
Their use, when they were first introduced, that's how it was. And there were, you know, there was some tomfoolery with Chavo Guerrero stealing a medallion and everything like that. There should be more of that. People should be finding the medallions earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And they should be trading hands as well.
Yeah. I feel you on that. I will say this, however, is that they both scored a pin. So the gods deigned them both worthy. And it's also not the first time, you know, because the nature of the Gift of the Gods championship is that sometimes it has to also be defended. And it has been defended in a ladder match before between two luchadors with King Cuerno and Phoenix. It has been done before. And so I'm excited to see this on the big stage between two really great performers with Pentagon Dark and Son of Havoc. I'm picking Pentagon Dark to win it, finally get some Aztec gold around his waist. Who you got?
I have Pentagon Dark as well. Obviously, the momentum is in his favor. Son of Havoc is, of course, very popular and everything, too. But Pentagon Dark is one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in the temple right now.
Wouldn't be the first time they swerved us all with him, though.
Yeah, but Son of Havoc gets swerved also.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is very true.
I guess either way, someone deserved it is going to win this one. You know,
that's a fair point.
Both these men have been waiting on the sidelines long enough.
We then end the episode, though, with another great Lucha Underground signature vignette. Dario in the limo with, what is that, Agent Winter?
And then he's a part of that hidden cabal, whatever they call themselves.
Yes. Yeah. So I loved this vignette. I like that Dario is actually questioning whether or not Cage is a machine, which is something that we've been talking about. I hope Cage is some type of cyborg and we get to explore that.
Well, he is some sort of government experiment, isn't
he? Yes. Well, that's what we've speculated about.
Oh, is that just speculation on our part?
Yes, which is awesome.
Oh,
so
he should be.
Yeah, he should be. Absolutely agree. And so Dario's showing sort of his second thoughts about Cage and that Mil Muertes and Jeremiah Crane both want it and they'd be good hosts. So he's setting up a setting up a triple threat match between Cage, Muertes, and Crane for the gauntlet at Ultima Lucha Trace. What say you?
I don't think Mil Muertes or Jeremiah Crane would be good hosts, though. Mil Muertes is a zombie. And
very resilient,
and maybe he's some sort of like golem puppet where it would work. But and Jeremiah Crane, there's something weird with him too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's too much dark magic around those guys that I feel like they wouldn't take to it as well. And then I was starting to wonder, or is Dario Cueto pulling some other stunt and that all of this is BS in the first place?
That
and it was
I think
just
is
an
entirely
excuse
possible.
For him to steal the gauntlet. Yeah.
I think that's entirely possible. I do think Mil Muertes would be a good host for it, given what you said, is that he has proven to be a malleable resource to Katrina, and so he could be sort of an empty vessel for the gauntlet. And also,
are you also able to sever Katrina's claim on him, though?
That remains to be seen, or would it just further empower Katrina, which I would also be down for. In either case, I have Mil Muertes winning that match. Who do you got?
You know, it's one that I haven't really been able to think about as much. Yeah, maybe. I don't see the point of stealing the gauntlet from Cage and then he just wins it back. And then this also gives Cage's character an out where he doesn't have to become this Aztec god personified. He can go back to being Cage.
Yeah, agreed. And I just think, look. I've seen Mil Muertes do awesome stuff with the gauntlet on before in Grave Consequences, so I'm into him wearing a gauntlet. that's the long and short of it. I want to see it again, and I think that's what we're going to get. And I don't see Crane winning this match.
No, Jeremiah Crane, and don't get me wrong, he's incredibly capable, and we've been totally turned around on him.
Yes.
But, I mean, between Cage and Mil Muertes, I just feel like you're fighting for your survival at that point.
Yeah. But it's set up a great Ultima Lucha Trace next week. It starts, and
My goodness, I
cannot wait for Ultima Lucha Trace. It's gonna be a happening on the El Rey Network, and it looks like if we don't get a season 4 of Lucha Underground, which of course I hope we do, that they're going balls out though at the end. It's gonna be fun to watch. So we will get you covered with Ultima Lucha Trace starting next week. That is going to do it for this episode, however. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.